From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Ocean Isle Beach in Brunswick County is the second North Carolina municipality to receive a permit for a terminal groin since a long-standing ban was lifted in 2011. Baldhead Island was the first, completing construction in 2015. Now Holden Beach, a neighbor of Ocean Isle in Brunswick County, is seeking a permit for its own hardened structure to trap sand and slow erosion. Figure Eight Island has also pursued a permit, but that process appears to have stalled. There are now six such structures allowed in the state after lawmakers raised the initial cap of four. Today, we'll explore some of the complexities of shoreline management. We'll find out why environmental advocates have not relaxed their opposition to hardened structures on the beach, and we'll learn where some of these projects are in the pipeline. David Hewitt is the town manager of Holden Beach. David Hewitt, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you.
Also with us today, New Hanover County's Shore Protection Coordinator, Leighton Bedsole. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, ma'am.
And joining us from the North Carolina Coastal Federation is coastal advocate Mike Giles. Welcome, Mike Giles.
Thanks, Rachel. Glad to be here again.
And we're inviting your questions on this Thursday. Do you live in a beach town? What do you think the solutions are to a constantly changing shoreline? And who should pay for them? Do you live inland and have a hard time understanding construction on a moving shoreline? Now is your chance to weigh in. You can reach us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. David Hewitt of Holden Beach. Tell us first why the town of Holden Beach is seeking a permit for a terminal groin. What's at stake?
It's a natural evolution of our overall beach management strategies, which includes dredging, beach nourishment, dune stabilization through vegetation and sand fencing. In other words, it's another tool in our toolbox, potentially, that would make for a more viable and stable coastal environment.
And has this has been something then that's been part of your long-term plan for how long?
We've had a formal beach management strategy and plan in place for about 15 years now that's regularly monitored and updated on an annual basis. So this is a natural progression of some of the things that we've done in the past and hope to be able to do in the future.
What are you protecting with the terminal groin? What is it? Is it infrastructure? Is it properties? And if so, how many? What are you concerned you will lose without this?
Well, just like our other beach management practices, our pursuit of a terminal groin hopes to protect habitats, protect structures, and also increase recreational opportunities. So the same types of benefits that we believe are captured by our beach nourishment practices, we hope that the terminal groin would facilitate those same type things.
Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. Before we get into why your organization is opposed to these structures, tell us what a terminal groin is for those who haven't been involved in this conversation before. And we have to say we're not talking about an unfortunate physical condition. This is something else.
A terminal groin is a structure, to the Coastal Federation, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a jetty. It's a hardened structure that has now been a jetty is a structure usually used for navigation inlets. Terminal groin is a structure made of rock or steel or wood at the terminus of an inlet at one side or either of an inlet to stabilize the shoulder of that inlet to stop erosion at that inlet tip. And these inlets in our southern coast are very dynamic living systems that respond to weather and sea level rise and climate change, especially northeast storms. Hurricanes are a big issue, but really the winter storms are where we have the most erosion. And the proposed benefit of these so-called terminal groins is to stabilize that shoulder of that inlet. Now there's some folks that say it's going to help with navigation and some other things, but that's not the purpose, the defined purpose of a terminal groin. The Corps of Engineers engineering manual describes groins as probably the most misused and improperly designed of all coastal structures. And over some course of time will cause a positive increase in beach width updrift of the groin, but also a decrease on the downside of the structure. So it's a slippery slope. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul somewhere with the natural movement of sand up and down our coast and in and out of our inlets.
So when we look at specific scenarios in North Carolina, the Coastal Federation was one of the organizations that fought pretty hard against having the ban on these structures lifted. Why? What are you afraid is going to happen in North Carolina?
Well, in North Carolina, the law stated there was going to be four so-called projects, Project Terminal Groins, to look and see if they work. Now we have six. And our concern, the Coastal Federation concern, a lot of coastal geologists and scientists, that we're looking at a slippery slope. Once you put one there, John Smith down the beach, if erosion starts there, he's going to say, well, they have theirs. We're not debating that terminal groins at the inlet will protect a few property owners at the tip of that inlet. But there's unintended consequences either downdrift of the beach or on the other side of the terminal groin or in the inlet or across the inlet on adjacent beaches. So I give a lot of talks, and my pat answer to that is terminal groins are like a potato chip. You can't have just one.
Leighton Bedsell with New Hanover County. You have three beach towns within the boundaries of New Hanover County. Is a terminal groin something at some point that New Hanover County would seek to build in Wrightsville, Carolina, or Curie Beach?
Well, the nuances of North Carolina's inlets dictate different approaches to their management. The inlets themselves, either they're oscillating back and forth or they're migrating in one primary direction. Those all play into the management strategies, as David and Mike alluded to. Currently, New Hanover County's inlets and inlet shoulders are in a situation where we really don't have infrastructure threatened. And so I think at this point we have other alternatives that we can work through before we get to such an alternative. To say ever or never, ooh, that's a long time.
So it's not something that is part of the long-term strategy for New Hanover County at this point?
At this point, I don't think we're considering it right now.
You're listening to Coastline. It's an exploration of shoreline management in southeastern North Carolina with its no less than a dozen beach towns that support habitat, infrastructure, private property, and the tourism industry. With us to answer your questions on this Thursday, Mike Giles. He's a coastal advocate with the North Carolina Coastal Federation, a nonprofit environmental advocacy group. David Hewitt, he is the town manager of Holden Beach, a Brunswick County beach town that is seeking a permit for a terminal groin. And Leighton Bedsell, he is the shoreline protection coordinator for New Hanover County. You can reach us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org. Miles from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
Well, it's more of a comment. I'm a land surveyor here along the coast, and I've seen millions of dollars spent to redo beaches and build jetties or groins. But the bottom line is you're not going to beat Mother Nature. The beaches will always change. If you look at the beaches, such as Wrightsville Beach, it shrinks from the north end and grows on the south end because that's what Mother Nature wants to do. And you're not going to change that with anything you build.
Thanks so much for your call, Miles. Appreciate that. Leighton Bedsell, is that an accurate description of Wrightsville Beach?
The caller was correct that the sand is primarily moving north to south. The fact that it's accreting at the south end of Wrightsville is a part of the navigation design within the jetty system. The north jetty has at its terminus to the beach a submerged weir, which is like a little dam or a little wall that was designed to trap a volume of sand and then allow bypassing for the sand to accumulate in a inside the inlet to be reclaimed, and that's our source for the sand at Wrightsville Beach. We pick it up, we put it on the beach. 4 years later, it's made its way back into the deposition area. We pick it back up, we put it on the beach. It's recycling the sand through that engineered structure, I might add.
And when was that? So you said it's a submerged structure.
Yes, it was. It was completed. Both navigational features were completed in 1981. Now, the topic today are terminal groins, much smaller, different purpose and need, different role in shoreline management.
We have an email. This person says, below is an example of how artificial reefs have been a successful solution to the problem of eroding beaches. And I can't show our listeners this, but it is an artificial reef program, and these look like reef balls. And I want to get your opinion, all of you, when we come back from this break, about whether or not this actually does impact erosion in a positive sense. That's when we come back from the break. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM, exploring shoreline management today. It's an evolving field and a critical one for southeastern North Carolina with its long and populated coastline. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call on this Thursday, 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You are listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking today about shoreline management and the advancement of terminal groin projects in North Carolina. With us for today's discussion, Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation, Leighton Bedsoll, Shoreline Protection Coordinator for New Hanover County, and David Hewitt, Town Manager of Holden Beach in Brunswick County. And they're taking your questions on this Thursday. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Just before we went to break, got an email from a listener who has a PDF showing what looks like, he calls them artificial reefs. They look like reef balls. And he writes, the North Carolina Division of Marine Fisheries already has an artificial reef program as part of their resource enhancement section. You should contact them to ask why not try to get a grant to build a reef near the beach, say Lee Island or somewhere without any development or jetties nearby, that would not only provide fish habitat but also erosion control. If done right, he says, surfers would love it too, and we would never have to pump millions of dollars worth of sand on the beach again. David Hewitt of Holden Beach, have you heard of such structures as erosion control tools?
I have, and I think that Leighton's earlier point about all of the southeast Brunswick County beaches have unique requirements, and subsequently all beaches or coastal environments have their own special set of requirements, and hence the definitive process required in order to get a permit to build a terminal groin. All of the groins that could be permitted in North Carolina are singular and unique and require a customized shrink fit solution to apply to those specific areas. Whether or not those reef balls are a solution for a particular location, that require extensive research investigation to make sure that that's the right kind of solution for that particular location. I will comment on the fact that previous previous structures that exist today in the state's artificial reef program as the guy that has the joy of picking up the tires on a regular basis from the offshore reef that is now dissolving on a regular basis with every strong storm, moderate storm, that is, those types of structures, while they may have worked for a while, they don't work for the long term.
What structure are you talking about?
Southeast of the Lockwood Folly Inlet off of Oak Island, primarily, there's a series of artificial reefs constructed in the mid-70s, I believe, that were was a valiant attempt at recycling old tires, but during the intervening time frame, the device that tied those tires together has failed, and on a regular basis, the tires, with their neutral buoyancy, actually matriculate to the shore, and we get to pick them up. They are fairly benign. I mean, they are old tires, but it's not pretty when they come up on the beach. And on a regular basis, we have the burden of disposing of them.
Has there been any talk about removing this structure, dismantling it, so that it doesn't keep just sort of slowly washing up?
It would be impossible. There, a lot of them are buried, and this is an historic problem. But to get to the email, reef balls are used for fish habitat. They're not used for erosion control or breakwaters. Breakwaters are a different animal altogether, and that's another armoring of our coast and the Coastal Federation. And again, a lot of scientists and geologists are opposed to armoring and engineering our coast. What we need to be looking at, and Miles brought it up, you know, beach renourishment and inlet management and terminal groins and engineered structures are expensive, and they're not going to get any cheaper. We're also running out of sand sources along our coast. What we need to be doing, instead of looking at a Band-Aid, a short-term solution for—
And that's what you're calling a terminal groin.
It's a Band-Aid. It's a short-term solution for an immediate problem at the end of an island. And what we need to be looking at is how we build on the coast, how structures are allowed, where the set vegetation and dunes are allowed to be destroyed, because that's our protection. That's private properties protection against erosion are the dune system. But at our inlets, those inlets, as Leighton said, are moving systems. They move back and forth, and they respond to storms. And that's the safety valve. All this water comes in an inlet during a storm, and when it comes out, it needs that inlet to be able to open wider to take all the rainfall from a hurricane, et cetera. So we want our Division of Coastal Management, our new administration in Raleigh, to look at beach issues on a longer term. Let's talk about how we build and where we build. Holden Beach has a great beach program. We agree with how they manage their beaches and their beach renourishment program. The proposed terminal groin, we oppose it. Number one, because it's not needed. That inlet has been relatively stable since 1938, according to the draft environmental impact statement. And it's sort of like Rich Inlet. They've got a huge Ebbshoal Delta out there that feeds the beach, because the inlet is in its really most positive position, inlet channel, where most of the water moves in and out in the ebb and flood channel tides, and it creates this big shoal and feeds the beach. Maintain that channel where it is now. You don't need a terminal groin. There's just a few houses there at the end of the inlet. If you're talking about $2.5 to $3 billion to build a terminal groin, then do beach renourishment, which you have to do behind that groin, you could buy those few houses and relocate them at a much smaller expense to the citizens who are going to have to pay for this terminal groin.
David Hewitt, part of your concern at Holden Beach is that the island could be split. Is that right, in places?
Absolutely. There are two ancient inlets at Holden Beach. As a matter of fact, our fire department is called the Tri-Beach Fire Department because at one time the entity or geographical feature now known as Holden Beach was three separate beaches with two inlets in the middle of the island.
And what would that mean, just from a practical point of view, if there was a break in the island?
It would cut the island into three parts and basically render the two most southern portions, about 6 miles of the beach, they wouldn't be accessible unless there were some other type of means to get to them, inaccessible vehicular and also water and sewer lines wouldn't be able to be extended down there to them.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about shoreline management, that evolving art or science, I'm not sure which it is. With North Carolina has no less than a dozen beach towns in the southeastern portion that support habitat, infrastructure, private property, and the tourism industry. With us to answer your questions on this Thursday, Leighton Bedsole. He is the Shoreline Protection Coordinator for New Hanover County. David Hewitt is the town manager of Holden Beach. That's a municipality seeking a permit for a terminal groin. And Mike Giles is a coastal advocate with the North Carolina Coastal Federation, an environmental advocacy group that opposes terminal groins or hardened structures on the beach. Christina from Durham, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. My question is, it seems like it is a lot of money and not a long-term solution to build these structures. And obviously it seems, and it has proven that, shifting sands are a natural occurrence of nature, and so instead of fighting Mother Nature, why don't we just limit the infrastructure that's built close to these shifting sands, and then that would help reduce the cost that seems like we're going to spend billions of dollars for something that we're going to have to spend money on later down the road, instead of just prohibiting structures and infrastructure to be built in these areas that do shift. Why is that a solution that's been thought of?
You know, Christina, that's a great question. And Leighton Bedsole, how, first of all, who determines what lots are buildable in a beach community and what lots are not? How is that arrived at?
That's pretty much dictated by the Division of Coastal Management and setbacks from the first stable line of vegetation. One of the comments the caller made about protecting this infrastructure or not building these devices. I just want to point out, just for discussion purposes, the purpose and the need is important for the structures that we're talking about. There's been two terminal groins in North Carolina for decades that have met their purpose and need. The P. Island terminal groin has protected the southern abutment of the Bonner Bridge successfully. The Fort Macon terminal groin has protected the historic structure, its purpose and need. So I want us to be careful when we say they won't meet their purpose and need. We have two examples that have, for decades, met their purpose and need.
And Mike Giles, part of your opposition to terminal groins, you say once you install one, you create unintended consequences, so then you have to install something else to deal with that consequence. Why has that not occurred with these older terminal groins?
Well, the three-mile section south of Oregon Inlet, since 1983, I believe, to 2009, they put over 12.7 million cubic yards of sand on that beach to stop erosion. The natural processes of that barrier island have been affected by that terminal groin. And Leighton is right. It protected the Coast Guard station. It protected the abutments for the bridge. But there's unintended consequences. Now the northern section of Hatteras Island Body Island has migrated south. And so the inlet is having to be dredged over and over again because of the effects of that groin and the migration of Body Island towards the terminal groin. If they didn't dredge the inlet, the inlet could actually damage and the terminal groin could fail. Fort Macon has an historic amount of hardened structures under that sand. There's terminal groins and rock jetties, if you look at old pictures, jutting out at every angle you can think of. And right now they are putting sand on the beach south of the terminal groin at Fort Macon because a terminal groin traps sand. You rob Peter to pay Paul. You stop the natural processes down these inlets. A lot of people talk about the inlets where they've been altered because of dredging. Yes, they have. The intercoastal waterway, the inlet channel bars, they've been altered because of dredging. Yes, they have. But we need to balance the purpose and need with the cost to our beaches and inlets. David was talking about if a big storm came in and blew holes through Holden Beach down south, the terminal groin won't protect erosion farther south down the beach. What's going to protect erosion further south down the beach is their Central Reach project, which they just finished, and it's a very well-designed and well-constructed beach nourishment project. All these beach projects are expensive. They're going to get more expensive. We need to, again, think about these inlets, what their function are. Their function are not only for movement of water, but they have a very important estuarine ecology, wildlife, birds, fishery function that are important to our coast.
There's this reality that Christina from Durham pointed out, which is there are already places, and, you know, Holden Beach is the perfect example of this. That's a populated beachfront. So do you sacrifice some of the town infrastructure or private property or what is now usable beach by the public, which translates into tourism dollars for Holden Beach and the state?
If you go down there now, they've got a beautiful spit, and the inlet is built north. It's very valuable wildlife habitat. It's very valuable recreation habitat. And from our point of view, the most efficient thing, the more effective thing, the more environmentally responsible thing to do would be to maintain that inlet channel where it creates that Ebbsholt Delta and feeds the beach. And you're going to have to do beach renourishment, whether you have a terminal groin or not, down the length of Holden Beach, because erosion is just part of life down at the beach. We've stopped the natural processes of these barrier islands because we built on them. We're all at fault. That's, you know, everybody wants to live on the beach, and I'm one of them. But if you look at New Jersey, in the last 30 years, they've spent almost $31 billion on engineered beaches. They have 430 groins along their beach and counting, because once you put one, you're going to end up putting another and another and another.
I want to get to Dave from Wrightsville Beach, but that is a point, David Hewitt, that we have seen this happen in other beach communities, that sort of scalloped beach look. If Ocean Isle Beach, which is a neighbor of yours, constructs a terminal groin, they now have a permit, so they're probably going to build next. Are you concerned about what that is going to do to your beach community?
Absolutely. Key in the permitting and construction of the groins, whether they're at Holden Beach, Ocean Isle, or at another location, is the characteristics that are unique to that location. And like I said earlier, they're one-off, specialized, individually crafted solutions for specific locations.
So you're saying when Ocean Isle Beach then puts this structure in, that's a factor that's going to change what's happening on Holden Beach.
And the design characteristics that go into its construction will have been modeled so as to minimize any adverse implications to Holden Beach. The reality of the Shallotte Inlet construction of a terminal groin, which is what we're talking about, in reality, that inlet is more affected by the large-scale dredging projects that take place there on a regular basis every 4 or 5 years that removes up to 1 million yards of sand from that beach. Anyone that has ever dug a hole in their backyard, when you take sand out of it, the sides of it cave in. And so we're at Holden Beach, we're relatively comfortable with the fact that the one at Holden, at Ocean Isle, excuse me, is crafted in such a manner as to minimize any adverse implications for the beach. There are safeguards also built into not only the characteristics that are designed into the project, but also surety requirements that are...
You're talking about a financial...
That's right.
...requirement.
That are built into the law.
And so if there... Sorry to interrupt, but if there were adverse impacts, then Ocean Isle Beach's fund would pay for mitigation for Holden Beach?
They'd have to pay to remove it.
They'd have to pay to remove their terminal groin.
That's my understanding of the law.
And that will never happen. We can't even get sandbags removed from the beaches that legally should have been removed 10 to 15 years ago. There's never been a terminal groin or jetty removed because of issues anywhere on the coast of the United States.
Leighton Bedzel.
Just a point, though. If you look at old Corps of Engineer drawings, I want to say 50s or 60s, there were groin fields on Wrightsville Beach, on Carolina Beach, old wooden cribbage, and they failed.
Yes.
They simply failed. So I understand Mike's concern about turning this into a Jersey Shore where it's a groin and then you move a little way and there's another groin. I'd kind of like to think we've learned from our mistakes in the 60s.
You're listening to Coastline. When we come back from this break, it'll be your last chance to tell us what you think or ask a question about shoreline management in southeastern North Carolina. I promise, Dave from Wrightsville Beach, we're going to talk to you when we come back. You can call us with your questions and comments on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can email us today at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking today with Leighton Bedzel, Shoreline Protection Coordinator for New Hanover County, David Hewitt, Town Manager of Holden Beach in Brunswick County, and Mike Giles, Coastal Advocate with the North Carolina Coastal Federation. We're talking about the best ways of managing shorelines which support infrastructure, private property, habitat for a host of different species, and the tourism industry. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you can call us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Dave from Wrightsville Beach, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. My question is, and just a little bit of background, I am the former chairperson of the Rip Current Awareness Strategy Team for NOAA. With the terminal groins that you're proposing to put in, I'd like to know how you are going to protect the citizens and the life safety issues that develop due to rip currents that do form around these groins each and every day, just like a pier or anything else. So I really would like to know how Brunswick County presently doesn't have any lifeguards, is going to protect the citizens and how they're going to do that for each and every groin that is proposed to go in. Thank you.
Thanks for your question, Dave. David Hewitt, Town Manager of Holden Beach. What is the lifeguard situation in Brunswick County?
I can only address the circumstances at Holden Beach, and the terminal groin at Holden Beach is designed with a node on the end. It's a small bulbous characteristic that is designed to minimize gyres and swirls that would, in essence, be contributing factors to rip currents and also exacerbate erosion. So we've designed characteristics into the groin at Holden Beach in order to minimize those to the greatest extent as is practical.
We have an email. This person writes, of the 38-plus terminal groins along the East Coast and Gulf Coast, can anyone cite specifics and locations of terminal groins that have not worked according to the design? All of the terminal groins that have been studied have served their intended objective. No one has ever provided any evidence of negative impact. Mike Giles, I guess that would be for you.
I think, you know, talking about the P. Island terminal groin, it did serve its purpose and need, as Leighton said. The terminal groin proposed at Ocean Isle Beach and at Holden Beach, especially Ocean Isle Beach, they have a particular problem down there with houses falling in the water. It would protect a few homes at the end of the island. It would protect. But again, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're going to have unintended consequences somewhere else that's going to cause people to file lawsuits. Recently in Montauk, New York, 18 homeowners filed a $25 million lawsuit claiming that against state and local governments, claiming that jetties blocked the flow of sand and exacerbated the erosion in front of their homes. A father sued Pinellas County, Florida, after him and his children nearly drowned while swimming near a groin. Wherever groins go, lawsuits follow. And who makes a good living off terminal groins and beach issues are lawyers. Some of these terminal groins up and down the beaches in Florida and South Carolina. Florida and South Carolina aren't North Carolina. North Carolina has a unique beach ocean ecosystem with all the inlets and the barrier islands we have. So you can't compare those terminal groins or those projects to what would happen here. What these engineering firms use is called models to model what effects these groins would have on the beach and the inlets. And these models, called the DELF 3 or the CMS, I believe, that was used at Holden Beach, these are just computer models, and they're not designed to model erosion. They're designed to model wave action. And the Corps of Engineers state and the applicant's engineers state that these models are just a best guess prediction of what would happen, because these models, according to the Corps and to the engineers, cannot predict the future. So once you build these, you don't know what's going to happen because there's so many millions of variables you can put in a model. It's too expensive to put everything. You can't know everything. Sea level rise, the time of the tide, the time of the moon, what storms, et cetera. You just can't model all those variables to where you can have something that says this is what the effects or the positive effects and the negative consequences of installing these at our very dynamic ocean inlets.
So, Mike Giles, you're saying then to this listener who wrote in saying you can't really say that there are negative impacts or that terminal groins haven't served their intended purpose, you're saying perhaps they've served the intended purpose, but there have been other negative consequences unrelated to the purpose. Is that your point?
Yes. We have over 45 coastal scientists and geologists, and what they have stated in a formal letter, a formal position paper, a structure placed at the terminus of a barrier island near an inlet will interrupt the natural sand bypass sand systems, deprive the ebb and flow tide deltas of sand, and cause negative unintended impacts to adjacent islands, downdrift beaches, and inlet systems. And these are some of the most world-renowned coastal scientists and geologists in the world.
David Hewitt, if you install a terminal groin at the end of Holden Beach, are you concerned about impacts on your neighbors? For instance, Oak Island, could they suffer consequences of your terminal groin?
We're absolutely concerned about the potential for adverse impacts either downdrift or across the inlet. And because of those concerns and due to the processes that are required to go through in order to obtain a permit, we have strived to turn over every rock that we can in order to investigate any potential adverse impact that may be encountered during the evolving of our design and hopefully ultimately what will be built.
And our listener who sent in the PDF depiction of the artificial reefs, the reef balls, as a possible erosion control device, is asking, sent several emails, ask Mike Giles about the reef balls that the Coastal Federation installed to protect their shoreline at Morris Landing. So I guess he's saying, yes, they have been used as erosion control devices.
Yeah, these are inshore along the Intercoastal Waterway at a piece of property the Coastal Federation owns. And what we're doing along that shoreline is using a lot of techniques to create what's called a living shoreline. Instead of putting bulkheads along these waterways and creeks and canals and rivers, a living shoreline provides habitat, reduces the impacts of wave and boat traffic and waves and current upon the shore. These are intended just for inshore areas, and that's why we use them there, because the wave energy is a lot less than what you have on the beach.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's an exploration of shoreline management in southeastern North Carolina with Mike Giles of the Coastal Federation, David Hewitt, town manager of Holden Beach, and Leighton Bedsole, Shoreline Protection Coordinator for New Hanover County. In just a moment, we'll talk to Alina from Wilmington. But first, we need to get to funding issues. Every election season, I've had candidates for local, state, and federal office in this room saying that there needs to be a consistent and reasonable funding and predictable funding mechanism for beach municipalities, that this shouldn't all be on the beach town. And of course, Leighton Bedsole, you're representing an entire county with three beach towns within your county. How, first of all, where are we with that? What kind of money does New Hanover County get from the state of North Carolina and or from the federal government for beach renourishment?
If I could, kind of back up just a minute. The benefits from the beaches in North Carolina. We've just completed, or the Division of Coastal Management has just completed, the Beach Inlet Management Plan update. And within that document, and it was done by a coastal engineering firm, world-renowned coastal engineering firm, the direct expenditures from North Carolina beaches, these are like receipts from hotels, restaurants, hot dog places, donut places. North Carolina in 2014, the expenditures were $1.66 billion in 2014. If you used economic multipliers in that assessment, it jumps up to $4.74 billion in 1 year. And at that level, it generates close to 49,000 jobs. This is coastwide now. So we're talking real money here. And so I think the concern is if the federal government chooses to reprioritize, which one can perhaps predict or can assume why, we have to have a plan B. There is too much at stake, in my opinion, from the economic perspective, from 95 to the coast.
You're saying that if the federal government chooses not to fund beach renourishment going forward,
if the feds,
then we have to have a plan B. Who's we?
We being the state, the counties, and the local municipalities. Now, currently, there are four projects that are somewhat funded routinely through the feds. It's funded 65% federal, 35% state. The state has routinely split that 50-50. Now, there are other projects that have been authorized but have not been appropriated, so it's a little different here. Now, in David's case, he stroked a check for the whole nine yards. Wow. I really think that it's in the state's best interest. Of those 49,000 jobs generated from the beach communities, 10,000 of those jobs are in non-oceanfront counties.
How much should the state government be contributing to beach communities, David Hewitt?
I think that with the direct financial contributions that the coastal communities have on the state's economy, the lion's share of funding for beach nourishment should come from the state government. As I've often said before, coastal communities, beach communities, are running the equivalent of a state park without the corresponding funding stream.
At this point, how much, and I realize this is a cyclical thing, it's not every year, but what does Holden Beach spend in a cycle on beach management?
Let me correct that a bit.
Okay.
We've annualized our cost and breaking it down estimate, because we have an engineered beach and a management program in place, we estimate that our annual erosion rate is about 200,000 cubic yards a year. Now, that's an estimate. Some years it's more, some years it's less. If you correlate that on a per yard basis, coupling it with the recent cost of our beach nourishment plan or beach nourishment effort, that comes out to be about $2 million a year, give or take, you know, a mobilization here or there.
And what is the overall budget for the town of Holden Beach on a yearly basis?
Our annual budget is about $6 million.
That's a big chunk. And so how much of that $2 million, then, would you say the state should be responsible for?
I think that it would be totally realistic for the state to pick up 75% of that cost.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM, talking about shoreline management in southeastern North Carolina. And we have Alina from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you, Rachel. So I'm going to start my comment with a quote from, or a paraphrase of an article from about, 40 plus years ago by Dr. Orrin Pilkey, one of the premier coastal geologists in North Carolina, emeritus at Duke University. And his statement was, "The man-made structures destroyed by the ocean are much better made these days." And the point being that we're not going to win against Mother Nature. And, you know, you hear all of these economic arguments. Of course, all of these developments on the coast have only been in the last 50, 60 years. I mean, 100 years ago, there was hardly anybody other than a couple fish camps living out there in these islands. And there was this philosophy in post-World War II to try to develop all these coastal areas, beaches, you know, tourism, et cetera. And so now we've invested heavily. And people have put, you know, million-dollar homes out there on the beach in harm's way. And Senator Graham from Florida way back came down when I was at the University of Miami. He came back down to talk to us because his father had been Army Corps of Engineers.
Alina, I want to just less than a minute left.
Okay. So the point is that we've had this philosophy of build up the beaches, and now there's huge amounts of property out there, but it was a bad decision back there, and should we continue to support and put more money into supporting those structures as opposed to buying people out and moving them inland?
What about that, David Hewitt? Retreat. How often is that discussed?
Well, I'll be glad to comment on that.
Thanks so much, Alina.
I'll be glad to comment on that. I know that man has lived on the edge of the sea ever since he crawled from the primordial ooze. And he will continue to be drawn to the edge of the sea. Now, where the edge of the sea is, we will always be inextricably drawn to the water.
That's this edition of Coastline. Leighton Bedsole, Mike Giles, and David Hewitt, thank you so much for being with us today, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Today's show was engineered by Caleb Covington. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org or get the podcast on iTunes. Tune in for the rebroadcast Sunday afternoon at 2. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.